Hey, everybody. Matt Hartman here again for Drunkard's Walk. Well, once again, it is time for a new episode, and this will be our sixth episode of Season 10. Have I yet said thank you to Jesse Ali for our theme music or Nick Jaramillo for our artwork? No, I haven't, but I'm trying to change up the cadence. Maybe you're listening to these one after another and you're tired of hearing me say the same thing over and over. You're tired of hearing me plead to you for a rating or review on iTunes or wherever you listen to the podcast. You're tired of hearing me telling you about the link tree at linktr.ee/drunkardswalk where you could submit topic suggestions and be a guest on her show. And most of all, you're tired of hearing me tell you just how great Jethro is. Wait, I don't think I've ever said that before. Hold on. Who wrote this script? Hey, what is it? What is going on? Hey, who's got this? Hey, everybody. Welcome to Drunkard's Walk. It's me, Matt Hartman, one of the co-hosts of Drunkard's Walk. That's right. There are two hosts to this show. And if you've never listened to us before, you've now met me. I'm Matt. Hi. It's great to have you here. And I'd like to introduce you to my friend and co-host, the other host of the show, Jethro.
Hey, everybody. Thanks, Matt. Longtime fan, first-time caller. It's great to be here. I can't wait to see what this podcast is all about.
Sure, sure. Actually, Jethro, you've been on the podcast before. You're one of the hosts, as I was mentioning. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I have these blackout periods that go for years at a time.
Gosh.
So who's president, by the way, right now?
Joe Biden.
The senator from Delaware? But I thought he just had a big plagiarism scandal.
Oh, goodness. You have been blacked out for a while.
How did he beat Reagan? That's my question.
Well, there's a lot to catch you up on, but I don't have the time right now because we have to get to the show. See, Jethro, we walk through Wikipedia from one random page to another only using the links.
What's Wikipedia?
Oh, right. Okay, so think about the World Book Encyclopedias.
Oh, yeah, I've got a set on my shelf.
Sure, of course you do.
I live with my parents because I'm in eighth grade.
Right, okay, that sounds great. Well, it's like they took that and they put it, oh boy, this is going to blow your mind, on the internet.
The what?
Okay, so imagine, do you know what AOL is? We're too early. Do you remember the Atari? Do you have an Atari?
Oh yeah, Combat.
Sure. Okay. Now imagine if you could play Combat against somebody who lived in Brazil.
Wow, what a future it is.
That's the internet.
Well, there we go. That I fully understand it now.
Good. I'm glad I was able to explain that all to you. So what we're going to do is, like I said, we're going to go from one random topic to another. Our random topic that we're starting at was determined by where we ended last week. And it was none other than Putt-Putt Travels Through Time, which, Jethro, as an eighth grader, I'm sure you're familiar with.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Actually, sidebar, my first, not my first job, but my second job was at a Putt-Putt Golfing Games. So have a very strong emotional connection to Putt-Putt Golfing Games.
Did you tell us that last week?
I don't know. I've been in a coma.
Oh, right. Sorry. Yeah, I forgot. I should remember better than you, I guess. Well, anyway, this has nothing to do with Putt-Putt, the golf, the mini golf. This has to do with a little car named Putt-Putt that we learned all about last week for the very first time. But Jethro, we have to know where we're going. We need a destination.
You indeed.
We need to know where we're going to end up. And you know what? A couple seasons ago, and again, you won't remember, Jethro, because you've been asleep this whole time. We were lucky enough.
A coma is not asleep, Matt. A coma is a very different thing.
Excuse me. I wish we were blacked out.
It was the
metaphorical asleep.
Okay, well, you know, it's very offensive to those of us who've been in comas to refer to it as sleep.
All right.
And that's fine. You know better, you do better, yeah. You've learned, you forget.
I thank you. I appreciate that. Well, anyway, we were really fortunate to meet Christopher DeFilippis, who is an author, a podcaster, an entertainer extraordinaire, and we've had him on twice, and he is back for a third time.
Woohoo!
Chris, welcome back, buddy.
Hey, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me back.
Absolutely.
Our pleasure.
Thanks for coming. It's so good to have you and so good to see you again. And boy, it is, yeah, it's been, we didn't talk to you last season. We talked to you in season 8, maybe season 7. I'm trying to, yeah, season 8. And you gave us the Montauk
yes.
project.
Yes.
Which was a really cool destination and a thing that we had never heard of before. So thank you for that. We appreciate it.
Anything I can do to promote conspiracy theories across Long Island, I'm awesome. Your man.
Awesome.
It feels stuff. Like Long Island's probably pretty soaked in conspiracy theories.
Yeah, I would think that it may just be. And also, you've got a new podcast that you are working on and that you're doing and that you've decorated. Unfortunately, we don't have video, but you've decorated behind you for. Can you tell our wonderful listeners a little bit about your new podcast?
Yeah, I don't even know what to call it because it's technically not a podcast. It's
oh, I'm
a YouTube
sorry. It
show.
Isn't, I apologize. It is not a podcast. A
but
video
I
show.
In
Excuse
my
me.
In my brain, I call it the podcast, and I say we're going to do the podcast tonight. Or so I'm such a dyed in the wool podcaster that to me it's a podcast, and the video aspect is just incidental. So I'm right at home calling it a podcast. If anybody's familiar with the Quantum Leap podcast, which is also one of the shows that I do that I've been hosting for a number of years, the creator of that show, his name is Albie. And just recently, he decided that he wanted to do a show reviewing Star Trek. I mean, there are none of those out there.
No,
so
no.
We figured we'd really
Star
hit
what?
On something. Exactly. So we started a new show. It's called Trexploration. And you can find it on YouTube. I guess it's youtube.com/Trexploration at Trexploration. I don't know how you do it, but it's like exploration
right.
with Trek in front of it, just in case right. that wasn't clear.
Right, right. Yeah. No, I did. I was listening to you guys talk about it a little bit, and it was mentioned that if you were a Patreon, a patron, I guess, that you could get the audio version of it.
Yes.
At that point. So folks, if you're interested in that, check that out and become a patron. And then it will kind of be like a podcast for you, sort of.
Yeah, that's how I've been listening to it primarily, because I don't have the fortitude to sit down and watch myself on video for an hour or two. I'm much more comfortable driving around in my car and hearing myself, because I love hearing myself talk, as you,
sure.
as you're well aware by this point. Well, not you, Jethro. You've been in a coma, but I think
thank you.
So it's so nice of you to acknowledge. To
I'm
acknowledge
very supportive.
Really.
I'm coma curious, so
it's good.
We got to have a deeper dive later. All right.
A lot of yes anding going on here. I love it. that's fantastic. So that's awesome, and it's pretty new, right? I mean, you guys. Well, I guess this is dropping mid May, so you guys have been on for a month ish. A little more
yeah,
than a month
ish. I mean, by the time you guys drop this, we'll probably have maybe 4 or 5 episodes out. Tops. And the way that we're going to work it is, since Next Gen seems to be the most popular, we're going to be reviewing episode by episode Star Trek The Next Generation. And then we're going to have extra content on our Patreon feed that includes the other series. So I think the way Albie set it up is we'll probably do the premiere of every other iteration of Trek.
Okay.
And also whatever current Trek is out there. So for example, we just did our first episode about the season 5 premiere of Discovery, which premiered when we're recording this, which premiered right. last week.
Right.
So we're going to be doing those, and then subsequent episodes about the other series besides Next Gen are going to be on the Patreon site. So you can get all of those on the Patreon site. And again, they'll all come out as audio feeds as well.
Okay.
So
now, Christopher, let me ask you a question out of my naivete. Like I have long gently mocked Matt Hartman.
I listened to this show, and that coma did not make you any more truthful. I can tell you that.
Fair point. All right. So I guess given the incredible popularity of Star Trek, what do you do to have a new take or a new opinion? Like it feels like Star Trek, like Star Wars and like Lord of the Rings, like other massively popular franchises. Like how do you have a new opinion about a property that's been so very mined by so many people over so many years?
It's really just the cult of personality. I mean, they're not coming for Star Trek. They're coming for me.
Okay.
And for Albie.
There you go. All right. There you go.
Honestly, Jethro, I have the same exact question. And I asked Albie, I said, why are we doing this? Everybody has a Star Trek podcast. We're just two more schmucks. And he said, yes, but everybody's not us. So he just wants to make it a chill hang to talk about Trek. So I'll say this. It's not overly technical. It's not in the weeds with continuity and timelines. It's not about ships or, you know, teching the tech. It's really just two friends talking about it in a very casual way and really trying to keep like a positive vibe, because I think there are a lot of things out there, especially for new Trek, where people just get on to, I guess, get clicks and to really just be abusive about it. There's like a whole subset now of the internet, Jethro, used to be a beacon of hope for, you know, mass dissemination of intelligent thought. But
just like the printing press, but that that went.
But along the way, something happened. So now, I mean, yeah, that's a good question. I don't know what to tell you. If you like Star Trek, check us out. And then if you like us, you still like Star Trek, maybe you'll hang around.
Come for the Trek, stay for the vibes.
Yeah, yeah. If you don't like the vibes, there are a million other Star Trek shows. And I recommend that you forget about them and listen to us anyway.
There you go.
I just realized I should have poured myself some Romulan ale tonight, because I bought some of that or Romulan rye. Have you had this yet?
No, I would love to try it. You know me and my ryes.
The Star Trek spirits they made, and it's in the bottle. It looks just like from Star Trek II, and it's blue, and it's crazy, and it's great, and I love it. Even though I don't like ryes, I love it because I'm drinking Romulan ale. Like which blows my mind, because as a kid, I was always like, oh, that's forbidden because it's for adults. And then I became an adult and I was like, wait, that's not real. I can't drink
Did
that.
You ever get that Bantha milk?
Yeah, I did. Okay. I did get that Bantha milk, and it was great.
Okay.
It was great. Yeah. It was like Turner's made it for like 2 weeks, and it was awesome. They actually bottled it, Chris, here. They had, like, you could go to the grocery store and buy blue Bantha milk.
Because that's the blue Star Wars milk, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It was awesome. But yeah, it was very, very cool. So I got to ask you real quick. I mean, I don't want to get too into Star Trek because I don't want Jethro to fall asleep over there or once again, re-coma. Oh no.
He slipped back in.
But I do have to ask you, what is your take on, I'm not going to ask you about all the new Treks, just Discovery. How do you feel about Discovery?
I sort of enjoy it in the moment when I'm watching it. And then when I'm done watching it, I find almost nothing memorable about it, but I don't
immediately forget it, right?
Immediately forget it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. Like I am not a huge fan of it. I continue to watch it because I like to watch Star Trek and I want to like it. Mm-hmm. And there are things about it that I like, but I know I posted a thing on TikTok the other day about the premiere, and there were just some things I didn't really like about it. And somebody stitched it and said, I'll do you one better. I went and hit autoplay, watched the whole episode, and thought, gosh, it's just a retread, and I feel like I've seen it before, and it's just the same old thing all the time. And then I realized I was watching the season 4 premiere, and I just completely forgotten that that's what it was about. And I was like, yeah, that actually happened to me 2 seasons ago when I hit autoplay, and it started playing like season 1. And I was like, wait, isn't that, have I seen this before somewhere? So yeah, that's I feel very much the same way.
So I know nothing about Star Trek, but in my attempt to relate to you, with that anecdote, there's a novel called Tristram Shandy, which was like a 17th century novel, which famously sort of jumps around in time. And yes. I had back in the day checked it out on audiobook from the library. So I had it in a CD form, and I was playing in my car. And unbeknownst to me, I had accidentally hit shuffle on my car's CD player. And because the book itself jumps around in time, like that's kind of the gimmick, it took me forever to realize that that's what was happening.
Actually, your CD player played it in a linear thing, and you're like,
exactly.
I was like, supposed to be like Slaughterhouse Five. What's going on here?
It's so straightforward.
This makes too much sense. Well, this is great. And so, yeah, folks, if you like Star Trek, definitely check out Trexplorations on YouTube. And you said if folks knew the Quantum Leap podcast, I mean, you had an ad for us on your show. So probably some people came and, you know, came to us from your show. So thank you very much for doing that. We really appreciate that as well.
I would hope so. I mean, I'm always glad to plug you guys because I love your show and you guys are both so funny. I'm always laughing whenever I'm listening to Drunkard's Walk. So, I feel bad for you every year, Matt, that you get aced out mathematically by episode 4, but
I know,
still.
Right? It's rough. It's rough.
Well,
stuff.
You'll be happy to know that this year Matt's kicking my ass. So
I've only heard the premiere, and so far Jethro is winning.
There's a lot of
between
season
here
left.
And there, huh?
I just don't trust it. It's like when I watch hockey games and there's still, you know, 10 minutes left in the game and my team's up 8-2 and I'm like, nope, they could still lose. They could absolutely.
And then Ovechkin
lose.
Hits the ice.
Oh, don't do that. Now you're just taunting.
Dun, dun, dun.
I was so glad I was able to make a hockey reference of any
yeah,
kind.
Well done. Well done.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we should get into it, though, and find out where it is that you are sending us this week. So what do you got in mind for a destination for us?
Well, because Star Trek is so exciting and Quantum Leap is so engaging, I thought, let me go the complete opposite way.
Oh, great.
you guys know that I like to stay on brand, but since your last thing was a time travel thing, you said we're coming out of putt-putt, it really solidified what I've been thinking. Have you ever heard the name Robert Moses?
Yes.
You have.
So you had like the city planner, New York City.
Yes. So I have all about RM lately. The seeds of this go deep. Number one, because I live on Long Island and you literally cannot look anywhere without seeing Robert Moses's legacy. He essentially built every road, every major road on Long Island. He got all of the parks, the state parks on Long Island are his doing. Jones Beach, every major bridge in the tri-state area is because of him. Most of the parks in New York City and a lot of stuff upstate, even Niagara Falls, is all due to Robert Moses's machinations. Wow. So I used to work for an outfit here on the island called Cablevision, where I did at the local news channel, I did editorials. And my boss would love to cover like local history and civics and things like that. It turned me into sort of a wannabe urban planner. So there's this book by a Long Island author who worked at Newsday called The Power Broker. And it won the Pulitzer Prize. And it's all about Robert Moses's rise and fall. It's called The Power Broker, Robert Moses and the Fall of New York. And in this, John, it's by Robert Caro. And in this, Caro basically traces how the nice man who built all the parks was really the most powerful and vindictive son of a bitch in New York politics for like 40, 50 years. And how nobody, not mayors, not governors, nobody would cross this guy because he held so much power. He was never elected to anything. And he had all of these authorities that he set up where like the money from the bridges would just go to him. And he was like, he had his own fiefdom. Like he was just a king unto himself. So this book really traces the mixed legacy because without Moses, we probably would not have the beautiful parks and things that we have on the island. We would not have just the scenic beauty that exists here. We wouldn't have the access. Long Island would probably still be the playground of all the robber barons who owned most of the North Shore and the fishermen who basically, you know, lived on the South Shore for generations, for you know, over a century or two. And he really opened all that up because he started out as like a crusader, a social reformer. And he got to know bureaucracy so well, he went to Oxford and studied like English bureaucracy, like how they did it in the UK. And when he came back to the States, he literally was the only person in the United States who knew how bureaucracies should work. And he single-handedly reformed the entire New York government structure so that it was actually responsive and responsible. So it took care of people instead of it being all about Tammany and patronage. So it's a real deep dive. And this book by Caro is about 1,200 pages long. And it should be the most god-awful boring thing on the planet because it's talking about like Moses going to planning meetings and finding, you know, vacant land and stealing it basically from the owners. But the way he writes, it's fascinating. I would recommend it to anybody. And I've been meaning to read this book for a good 20 years. That's when it goes back to my Cablevision days. This was sitting on my boss's shelf, and I'm sure it was the first edition signed by Robert Caro, because he knew everybody at Newsday. He knew all those guys. And so I guess my topic is Robert Moses. If you want to make it the power broker, you can do that. But Robert Moses in and of himself, just such a fascinating figure. And I've become quasi-obsessed with him over this last year. Wow. Just reading this book. It's a fascinating read.
Yeah. I love it.
Well, that's, I mean, you have to make the final call, though. We can't make a determination on which one it's going to be. Is it going to be the book or is it going to be the man?
You know what? I want to promote the book because the man is all in the book. So why don't we make it to The Power Broker by Robert Caro?
Okay. All and right. We are sure that there is a Wikipedia page for it?
That I'm not sure of. I only looked up Robert Moses.
It won the Pulitzer, for heaven's sakes.
I got to think that it has one.
Yeah, I understand, but...
Yeah, let me... I'm going to double check that for you guys right now.
It does.
Been burned
it
before.
Does. It does.
You caught me unaware.
It does.
It does? Right. You're sure? Okay.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Excellent. So, yeah. All right. Well, this is great. So, Jethro has heard of Moses. I have not, but I've gotten a crash course here, which is awesome. So, that's going to help out immensely, I think, on our trying to get there, especially since we're going there from a children's video game. The two do not seem connected in any way. But as we know, and as Wikipedia has taught us many times, there are always connections. There are always paths.
Indeed.
Find
indeed.
It, right?
That's cool. Spock is fond of saying.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, there are always possibilities. Yes. Well, this is great. I can't wait to try to get to this book. Before we let you go, I got to ask, are you drinking anything tonight? I see you sipping out of a mug. So I'm guessing coffee, perhaps?
A nice cup of coffee.
Cup of coffee, just straight up decaf. Are we drinking decaf at this point?
Oh, no, or? no. Yeah, I wanted to be on my A game with both of you. So, yeah, it's been a long week, and I feel like if I have even a little bit, I'm going to fall asleep. So,
okay,
we'll stick with the coffee. And how about you guys?
Well, yeah, I'm really well rested, so I am having a Heaven Hill bourbon on with my gigantic pretentious ice cube, although it has shrunk considerably because I started well before this podcast started.
Oh, great. Well, I'll try to hold it together then, I guess. I am drinking Bibb and Tucker, a double char bourbon, which a friend of mine got for me, aged 6 years, it says, made in Tennessee. It's quite delightful. I like a little bit of a smoky taste, and that double char is doing its job. So
awesome. Mm-mm. Very nice.
I do recommend it, to those who have not been, and apparently it must be fairly new because this is batch number one, according to the bottle. So there you go. Can't be super old, at least this particular type. Good stuff, man. Well, thank you again for coming on. Thank you for this. I mean, it's great talking to you. It's great to see you again.
Yeah, it's great to see both of you as well. It's always a pleasure. And I hope that we can continue our friendship. I love having you guys being plugged on my shows, and I will continue doing that in as much as I can, because everybody needs to know about Drunkard's Walk.
Well, thank
it's
you.
It's a fantastic podcast.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. And we hope people check out Trexploration on YouTube.
Yeah,
well,
for thank sure. You. And if you ever need a guest, you know, Jethro is available. So
give
him a call, because he is happy to come in.
If you want me to talk about hazy memories of that one Next Generation episode I watched.
It's what sustained you in the coma. You just kept on thinking about it and dreaming about it. And
yeah, unfortunately, it was Shades of Grey. So, you know, it almost drove him nuts, but he'll be all right. Well, thank you very much, Chris, and we will hopefully talk to you again soon.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Enjoy the walk.
Enjoy
Robert Moses, and read The Power Broker. Everybody should read it.
There you go. That's the plug.
All right, gang.
Take care.
Bye.
All right, Jethro. So we have got to figure out some how many links it's going to take. I was going to say bids or wagers, but none of that is correct. Guesses.
We've got to do some stuff, Matt.
We got to do some stuff. Do it up. So Putt-Putt travels through time to The Power Broker. Our average this season has been a little longer, but our average for the season is 5.8, which actually isn't that long, but our average overall, 8.06. So there you go.
So I don't know. I don't know what that means to you, but I guess write something down and we'll see what happens here.
Okie dokie.
All right. Good enough. Let's do it, man. Let's really get to it.
Okay. All right. Let's do it, Matthew. Putt-Putt travels through time.
That's where we're starting.
Here we go, indeed.
And this is a there's a great little drawing of a purple little purple car. He's very cute.
With a little doggy in it.
And it says it's a junior adventure for kids 3 to 8. So my eighth grade joke on you was actually I was too young. This is too
I was
young
very for, underdeveloped in eighth yeah. grade. So
oh, okay, well, that's good. Yeah, we see that it was on the Scum engine, as you pointed out last week, and it was first released in 1997.
There we go.
But now you can play it on iOS. I didn't even realize that there's an app for that.
And you know,
remember that whole ad campaign?
I don't.
iOS, Linux, and Steam versions now exist. So, and the Nintendo Switch has a copy of it as well, and the PlayStation 4. My goodness. We've got all kinds of different things on here, all very video game related, and also a lot of things that aren't particularly, there's a lot of like just black text, like not links for some reason.
Indeed. I will say, though, that there is a link here. So there's a section called Reception.
Yes.
And there's a link to the Washington Times.
Yeah.
So let me tell you what I know about Robert Caro.
What do you know about him?
Not much.
Okay.
However, I was so Jerome Fitzgerald, our mutual friend, legendary Pittsburgh improviser and incredibly insane human being, got me as a gift a Robert Caro biography of Lyndon Baines Johnson.
Oh, okay.
Which I have yet to read, much to my chagrin. But similar to The Power Broker, it is a lengthy tome.
Mm-hmm.
Jerome correctly realize that that kind of stuff is right up my alley. But I do know that if we can get to LBJ, that we've got Robert Caro in the mix. Also, Pulitzer Prize will get us there as well.
So your argument is to go through Washington Post because it'll get us to LBJ.
Washington Times.
Washington Post.
So it is a Washington newspaper that could get us there. I think that is a strong possibility, and yeah. I eagerly await your better suggestion.
Yeah, I don't like it.
You don't like it? What do you like, Matt? What do you like?
Well, I'm going to tell you, Jethro, there's some things on here about some different time periods, like the Old West is on here.
Okay.
And I feel like potentially the Old West, despite the fact that New York is in the East, lines up chronologically pretty well with probably, you know, around that time. Is that correct? Is that when Moses was around? I don't know. Tell me.
So Robert Moses was like one of the big architects of New York. So I feel like his ascendancy was going to be like in the mid 20th century.
Oh, you think it's that late?
Yeah. So here's the one thing I know about Robert Moses. So I knew that he was city planner in New York, very influential guy, architect of the modern New York. One of the facts that I know about him, or bits of trivia, is that he explicitly had a bridge designed so that the clearance of the bridge was such that buses could not traverse the bridge.
Oh.
And the motivation for this was so that black people could not get to recreational places that the bridge led to. So that's what I know about Robert Moses. So,
wow. Well, that unfortunately doesn't really give us a time frame as much as I would hope that it would.
Well, the fact that there are buses involved does.
I suppose that's true. Yes.
So if you've got buses involved, okay, we're talking mass transit. So we're talking, you know, 40s. 50s thereabouts, and also, you know, just rampant discrimination. Same era, I would guess.
My problem is I'm having very difficult time finding something else to replace your suggestion with, other than another newspaper like the Boston Herald. But I think that the problems that I think the Washington Times gives us, the Boston Herald gives us the same. There is a link to television, just TV as like a general thing. That might be very broad, might have a lot of links out of it. But that's a pretty shaky argument, isn't it? Does that sound shaky?
It's super shaky, especially because we have actual newspapers listed. And I don't know if you know this about the Pulitzer Prize, but it's often given to newspapers.
There's writers is linked on here. Unfortunately, it takes you to video game writing.
I feel like you're poo-pooing it unnecessarily here.
No, sir. I'm poo-pooing it because it's not a good, I don't think it's a good path, but I don't have a better one. So I'm gonna give into it, but I think it's a bad path. I don't.
All right, let me throw this out there. All right, so the Washington Times is the conservative Washington newspaper, and furthermore, it's owned by the Moonies,
it's owned by what?
The Reunification Church under the Reverend Sumyung Moon.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is. Oh, yes,
I did not know that.
So as such. Yeah. As such, it is unlikely to fall under the favor of the, I would arguably say, the more liberal perspective of the Pulitzer Prize Committee. I will say, however, that the Rocky Mountain News is also listed here.
Yeah.
And I know for a fact that the Rocky Mountain News has won a Pulitzer. I can't remember the exact story, but I do know that the word Pulitzer and Rocky Mountain News are affiliated. So I would even switch myself and say Rocky Mountain News is also a viable candidate for us.
Huh. You think so, huh?
I do think so.
Gosh. That feels even further away with less outs. But hey, I don't like Washington Times. So sure, let's go to the Rocky Mountain News.
Rocky Mountain News, here we are. Is a daily newspaper published in Denver. Owned by the W. Scripps Company from the 1940s until 2009, the Daily was printed in a tabloid format. Oh, look at that. Matt, do you see the first link in the second paragraph in the introduction of this?
Yeah, I see.
What is that?
Pulitzer Prizes. I didn't doubt that Pulitzer Prize would be on this page.
I feel like you doubted it.
I didn't. I just don't know that Pulitzer Prize is the path that I would want to take here. You want to go to Pulitzer Prize to go to Caro to go to the book? And that's
no,
the
because
the
book itself won a Pulitzer Prize. We don't even need to go through Caro.
Oh, the book itself. Oh, I thought Caro just won. I didn't know he won it for this book.
No, that's the if my memory is correct, Christopher told us that this book won the Pulitzer Prize.
Did he? I guess I missed that. I apologize. So does Pulitzer Prize take us to actual just Pulitzer Prize, or does it take us to Pulitzer Prize for journalism?
Well, it's interesting because under the awards section, there are links that take us specifically to the Pulitzer Prize for news photography and the Pulitzer Prize for feature photography.
Right.
And the Pulitzer Prize for feature writing.
Which none of those would be good, I don't think. But there is one that just says Pulitzer Prize that takes you to the Pulitzer Prize.
It's so true.
Which, again, probably will not have a list of everything that's ever won the Pulitzer Prize, but it is going to have a, I mean, it we're going to be able to get there, right?
I mean, one would think.
Yeah, I would think so, too.
One would think, Matt.
I don't know how to argue anything else. The only arguments I would make would take us longer. So let's go to Pulitzer Prize.
I love it. Pulitzer Prize, here we go, is an award administered by Columbia University for achievements in newspaper, magazine, online journalism, literature, and musical composition in the United States.
There you go. Newspaper publisher Joseph Pulitzer gave money in his will to Columbia University to launch a journalism school and establish the Pulitzer Prize.
Yeah, and the Pulitzer Prize is somewhat it's very famous and has a lot of name recognition.
Yeah.
But what's less well known is like, it's not a lot of money.
Isn't it?
It's not. No. Like when you think about like Nobel Prize is like $1 million+. It is a significant monetary award, but the Pulitzer is far bigger in terms of prestige and less in terms of actual money. In fact, I'm sure the monetary award is listed here somewhere. One would think.
I would guess that it probably is. I haven't seen it yet, but... Now, what I have seen and what I am going to ask that we don't follow is that there is a section of this called recipients, and it has a link to a category of Pulitzer Prize winners and a main article of list of multiple Pulitzer Prize winners. If you want to go to that list as the main article, I could be talked into it. I do not want to go to the category.
I see
think we
here,
could find
there,
a better path.
There are seven categories in letters and drama. One is biography. There is a Pulitzer Prize for biography link here.
Yes.
Also, which the preview pop-up says the award winners receive $15,000, which
there you go.
$15,000 is nice, but it is not life-changing money for the people who are winning Pulitzer Prizes.
No, probably not. Yeah. So, I mean, are we sure that the book is not already on this page?
We're not at all sure, Matt.
Because there
We're
are definitely
not at all sure. It could be there, here.
Yeah, there's definitely mentions of a lot of Pulitzer Prizes that have been won and people who have won them.
There's a rather detailed section called controversies.
Yes, I'm noticing that also,
which has a lot of specific authors and particular publications.
Hey, the Washington Post is on here. Do you want to go to that?
No, I feel like that'd be going backwards at this point. Yeah.
I don't know what year this book was written. Do you know by any chance?
Zero idea whatsoever.
Okay. I mean, he said it was at least 20 years ago that he saw it for the first time. So
yeah,
I'm guessing it was at least 20 years before now. But it looked, I mean, he held up a copy of it for those that didn't see it. That'd be all the listeners. And it looked like it could have been a book from the 70s or 80s, I would say, maybe even the 60s.
You're literally judging a book by its cover.
I mean, it might have been the 40s. I'd say.
Yeah, it was definitely
not the 20s.
Yeah,
not the 20s.
Oh yeah, it was definitely somewhere between the 20s and yesterday.
Yes, correct. That is exactly what I think is.
There we go.
Okay, so I mean, there are Pulitzers by year down at the bottom, but because we don't know the year, I don't think it makes much sense.
No. There is a link under controversy. There is a link for John F. Kennedy.
Uh-huh.
For Profiles in Courage, which folks believe was ghostwritten for him. So JFK would definitely get us to LBJ, which would definitely get us to Robert Caro, which which would get us to The Power Broker. But
yeah.
I
think that's too long of a walk. I think we've got the link to biography. Pulitzer for biography. I think that's where we're going. I don't see anything else that looks better than that.
Oh, do you?
Well, unless it was on this page, I see no reason to go to anything other than that.
Now here's another question.
Okay.
So it is in fact a biography, all that we were led to believe, but there's also sections for general nonfiction and history. Is it possible it won the Pulitzer for one of those?
I don't know. I don't know.
All right.
It's interesting. Now you've made me stop and think.
I mean, I would guess if it's primarily a biography that there are some rules for classification where, like, it's got to be in this category.
Well, but it didn't say biography. It said Robert Moses and the Fall of New York. And that makes me feel like maybe, it's memoir or autobiography. It wouldn't be that. It could be history. I guess it could be general nonfiction. I mean, even if it is a biography, it doesn't necessarily mean it won for biography. It could have won in the general nonfiction category, even though it's a biography, right? Or it could have won in the history category, even though it's a biography.
Yeah, but I would also say that, like, obviously the biography, anybody's biography is going to be about the context in which that individual was situated.
Sure. Yeah.
So I'm not scared off by that subtitle at all.
Okay.
In fact, I'm heartened by it.
Oh.
Because it says it says Robert Moses and the Fall of New York.
Did I say Robert Morris earlier?
Did you?
I may have. If I did, I apologize.
I had another mini coma just then, so I don't know.
It rolls right off the tongue, Robert Morris, Robert
Moses. I think biography is it perfect? Is it a lock? No, but is it the most probable of the options? I would say yes.
Okay, and we can get to the other ones from there, right?
I would think either that, or we can get to LBJ or JFK or something. Like it's not going to be a dead end, for heaven's sakes.
Let's go to Pulitzer Prize for biography then.
All right, biography it is. Is one of the seven American Pulitzer Prize annually awarded for letters, drama, and music. The awards honors a distinguished and appropriately documented biography by an American author Award winners receive $15,000 USD.
Okay. And he's an American author, right? So
presumably. I mean, he won the Pulitzer Prize, so.
Okay. So he would have to be.
By definition.
Oh, hey, I've got some good news for you, Jethro.
What's that?
That in 1975, Robert Caro won the Pulitzer Prize for Biography for The Power Broker, Robert Moses and the Fall of New York.
Did he?
Yeah, I know that because it's on this table that has them all listed in order, and it's right there next to 1975.
That's promising news. I do want to look through the rest of the page to see if there's another option.
I don't think you should do that, Jethro. It's right here. It's linked right here.
Frank McCourt, Angela's Ashes, a memoir.
Okay.
Frank McCourt gets us to Ireland, which gets us to Kennedy, which gets us to LBJ, which gets us to Robert Caro, which gets us to Power Broker.
Yeah. No. You make a good point. And if we wanted to take some extra steps to get there, we would do that. But we don't. We want to get there in the fewest number of clicks possible. If you recall, that was our mandate back in season one. And it remains our mandate today. So I think we're going to click on The Power Broker and head right on over there, buddy.
Look at that. The Power Broker, Robert Moses and the Fall of New York. There was also a link to Robert Caro directly, so
there could have was. Robert Moses was the other.
Oh, that's right. So if Robert Moses was the destination, we might have taken a more New York centric route to get there. Loath though we are to go geographical.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. If we had thought about the whole Pulitzer thing, I think we probably would have followed a very similar path. But yeah, indeed, there's a copy or a picture of the front of the book right here on the page, and it says winner of the Pulitzer Prize right at the top. It's like people want to make a big deal out of that for some reason.
Yeah, they don't tend to put that under a cover.
Drawing attention every time. So it, as it says here, is a 1974 biography of Robert Moses by Robert Caro. So the two Roberts got together and made themselves some Pulitzer work. He said it was a 1,200-page book. It says here it's 1,336 pages.
Wow.
So he was underselling 1,200.
I'm going to go so far as to say that's a tome.
Yeah, I like that. I would call that a tome. I wonder if they do that on this page anywhere. Well, you know what? We'll find out next week when we have to leave this page and look through it and find all the links. But right now, Jethro, what we need to do is take a look at how many steps it actually took us and how we did as far as our bidding was concerned. I said bidding again. Our guessing was concerned. So
our gambling
with no money. It took us four, which
what?
Is what last week also took us four. If you recall, this also took us four. So it's very similar. Under our average for the season, it's brought our average down again, which is great.
It's amazing.
Jethro, I guess six. I don't know. I don't know what you did.
You guessed six.
Six was my guess. So
well, the good news is I did not guess six. So we are not going to be in a tie situation. No.
Did you guess
the
five?
Even better news is that I guessed four.
What?
I guessed four, my friend.
On the money. How on earth did you do that?
Money. See, I figured Putt-Putt Travels Through Time was going to have some time travel. And so I figured there was going to be a lot of time periods that we might pick from. I was wrong about that.
Yes. Indeed, you were.
But I'm glad that the Rocky Mountain News was available.
The Rocky Mountain News. It is great that you found that, because I think had we gone through Washington Times, it probably would have taken us a little longer, maybe two steps longer. Maybe I should have just gone with you in the first place when you argued for the Washington Times. But who knows? Maybe they want a Pulitzer Prize as well, and it would have been just as simple and just as easy. But there you go. As it turns out, folks, the media holds us together, and that's an upsetting thing, but it seems to be the case. I don't know, buddy. How do you feel about that? That was fast. I feel like that was fast. I feel like we're cheating the listener out of quality airtime.
I don't think that we are. I think that the good, honest people who listen to this podcast want an adventure, and they know that sometimes it's going to be a quick, fast, heroic triumph. And sometimes it's going to be a long and terrible slog. And if we want them to stick with us through the long and terrible slog, then we need to give them the brief victory that is the fruit stripes gum that is a quick episode.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Jethro, I couldn't disagree more, because I think that they deserve at least at least a little bit more. So here's what I want to do, Jethro. I want to go back and I want to take a look at if we had gone through a different path. We don't necessarily have to do the whole thing, but I just want to see, like, if we had gone out through, what was I suggesting? Television? That seems dumb.
Old West is, I believe, what you
Old West. Let's do it. Let's see if we could get there from the Old West.
All right.
Let's do it. Just quick. Right. We'll do a little bit of a speed run here.
All right. But travels through time.
Yeah.
We click on Old West.
And you're going to see that it is a huge page.
It is a large, large page.
Huge. And if I was going to try to get to a biography from here, I might go down to the word novel, which unfortunately takes you to Western fiction. So don't do that. Don't try to do that. Time period is wrong, right? Because, well, I actually didn't really look and see when Moses was around, but I assume it was wrong.
Now, interestingly enough, Matt, when we click on Old West, we aren't taken to the Wikipedia page for Old West.
No, we're not.
We're taken to the Wikipedia page for American Frontier.
Yes, correct.
Which is very interesting.
It is. Well, I guess that's considered the old West and the American Frontier are synonymous, perhaps?
I mean, no, because the American Frontier, by definition, is something that has changed over time. So in 1776, it was just the border of the 13 colonies, and then it moved further westward until it eventually ended up in Hawaii. Yeah. Whereas Old West, you're thinking cowboys and deserts and six-shooters and cattle rustling and whatnot.
I'm thinking about all those things. You're absolutely right. That is exactly what I'm thinking about. The Oregon Trail, perhaps, even.
Right.
As the old video game used to take it. Hey, that would have been a quick one from Putt-Putt to Oregon Trail, I bet.
Indeed.
Bet you would have been able to find a way to do that. Now, you know what I do see? I do see a lot of politicians named on this page.
Do you now?
So it is possible that we would have taken your LBJ route through this, because like Lincoln is on here, for instance, right? I know that there's a lot of comparisons between Lincoln and Kennedy, and then Kennedy would get us to LBJ. So that's a possibility.
There we go.
Did Caro? Do you know anything else that Caro wrote? Did he write anything?
I just know the LBJ biography.
Okay. All right. So I'm looking to see how far this goes.
Did he also do a Camelot one? Like, wasn't he like the resident biographer for Kennedy?
Are you being serious, or are you just joking around?
No, I'm dead serious. I feel like I've seen an interview with Robert Caro, and I feel like he was like in the same way that like Bob Woodward has been like the chronicler of, you know, 21st century American presidents.
Okay.
I feel like Caro was in the 60s, like the guy.
Oh, okay. No,
I could be wrong about that, but that hits my gut in a very pleasing way.
Yeah, you could definitely be right about it, because I certainly don't know the answer to that. But I mean, I also don't see a link to Kennedy directly on here anyway, so it doesn't necessarily help us. I'll bet there's a link on here to New York, though, if we did want to go through geography of some kind.
There's a huge United States articles section at the bottom.
Oh, yeah.
There's also a geography and executive branch, presidents of the United States. Feel like that's a dead ringer.
Sure.
I feel like society, culture, Americana. I mean, there's so much down here. The history of the United States. Oh, good Lord. There's just so much.
The whole story of Wyatt Earp and the Earp brothers and the showdown at the OK Corral is on this page, which is great. I mean, it's not going to help us.
Don't get me started.
Wouldn't help us, but it's still really fun. It's fun that it's on this page, I think.
Ooh, so under History of the United States, this is in the bottom purple section.
Okay.
There is a section for places, and under places, there's a category called cities, and there's a link there for urban history. And I feel like urban history is the closest to getting us straight to New York that we're likely to get without going strictly geographical. So I feel like that is something that I would be very tempted by, were this the official path.
Yeah, that is pretty good. I'm still working my way through the rest of the page just because I'm curious as to how how this is going to go. I see a lot of in popular culture going on up here, and I'm curious if like there's going to be a connection through there in any way. 20th century imagery is on here, so it's like images of the Old West and cowboys and things like that from the 20th century. New Western history. My professional history is a new social history, study of American frontier history by focusing on race, class, gender, environment, et cetera, et cetera. So that's interesting. I like that. But yeah, Franklin Delano Roosevelt's about as late as we get, it looks like, on here.
You like urban history? You want to give that a shot? You want to?
Yeah, I'm checking real quick. There is a literature section here, and there's a author named Chris Enns, E-N-S-S, author of historical nonfiction that documents the forgotten women of the Old West. And because it was historical nonfiction, I might have made an argument to go through there because perhaps a contemporary.
Certainly Carol, possible.
I don't know. But yeah, let's try your what was it called? Urban something or other?
Urban history.
And where did you see that again?
So if you go down to the purple sections and expand the history of the United States.
Oh, United States.
Then further, you expand the places subsection. There is a cities section, which has two links only, urban history and cities. And if you click on urban history, I feel like that's where we want to go.
Oh, there it is. Okay, let's do it. Let's go. Let's see what that takes us to.
Here we go.
American urban history. Oh, that's pretty big. Historiography, new urban history. Is he just gonna be on this page?
I'm gonna go ahead and skip down to the 20th century section because I feel like that's where we want to be.
Sounds good. The 20th century. Okay. Not so bad.
So there is a history of urban planning section.
Okay.
Or an article that is linked here, which I feel like could be up there, but I still want to scroll through and see if there's any more detail about our good friend.
I see LaGuardia is linked on here. The person, not
us,
the place.
That gets us to New York, though.
Well, yeah, but I mean, depending on the time frame, I mean, LaGuardia might have been around.
There is a link for the history of New York City.
Oh.
Which, and I mean, New York City itself is pretty geographical, but history of, I feel like, makes it less so.
Yeah, I would agree.
And also,
with that.
By the way, a link for history of Pittsburgh.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Is this in the see alsos, or where are you seeing this?
These are under the see also sections.
See also, there it is. Let's do history of New York City. Let's see what that gives us.
All right.
History of New York City.
I feel like at a minimum, Robert Moses has to be listed here.
I mean, you would certainly think so, right?
Right. So because I'm going to look through post-World War II. Oh, there's Robert Moses.
Oh, yeah? In post-World War II?
Actually, if you scroll up, he's just before that.
Oh, there you go. I see him.
So there's Robert Moses. Let's see if we can find the power broker, which is our actual destination.
Oh, you think on this page, perhaps?
Possibly. I mean, Robert Moses is linked several times. It's possible that the book is listed here, but I'm not seeing it.
No.
So I feel like Robert Moses is probably the place we want to go.
I'm going to do a quick, since this isn't our actual.
You're going to control F it.
Quick control F, just to make sure Power Broker wasn't on the page. It is not.
Look at you.
It is not. All right, let's go to Moses. And I mean, obviously we know where we're going from here, right? So.
Wouldn't it be terrible if the book weren't listed as a link?
Oh my gosh. That would be surprising.
It is, though. The Power Broker, it's right there at the end of the summary section.
Well, there you go. So let's see. So that's one link to the Power Broker, one link to Robert Moses, one link to the history of New York, one link to urban history, one link to the Old West. So it's five. So it would have taken us an extra link. So well done in getting us here. And then we would have been tied. Had we taken five to get here. So well done. You saved us all, Jethro.
Here we go.
You're the hero this week, but next week you shall be the villain.
Yeah. I think the real villain is Robert Moses, because if you look at through some of this stuff, like his efforts to keep black people from swimming were not subtle and were pretty damn racist. So
he's the
official villain of the week, Robert Moses.
Yay. All right. If you had Robert Moses on your bingo card, check him off for villains. See what you got next week.
Well, Matt, we did it. Are you satisfied now? Do you feel like the people have gotten?
I do. I feel like we've given them what they want, and if they didn't want that, they would have hung up by now. Hung up?
Here we go.
That's
my understanding of this newfangled technology, is you hang up.
Perfect. I'm glad that you understand it better than I do. Well, Jethro, I am excited to talk to you again next week and see where we will go from the Power Broker, and hopefully it will be somebody who is a little less of an evil villain.